Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. Got a all basketball podcast for you guys today, joined by a very special guest. He was on last season as well to talk about SEC hoops. He is Blake Lovell. He covers the SEC for the 14. You can also go check out their podcast. Definitely go check it out. It's got all kinds of SEC basketball and SEC other sports, SEC knowledge overall. But Blake has just been kind of the king of SEC hoops, at least on Twitter, and somebody that I've known for a while, and I've always really respected his insight on the conference, especially in basketball. So, Blake, thank you so much for joining us again today to talk a little SEC hoops. Auburn fans will be listening to this one on Tuesday morning. They got not bad news because the program is now tied for its highest ranking ever, but they definitely expected to be number one, but it ended up being Gonzaga. Just talking about this Auburn team overall, just your impressions of what you've seen so far out of this team. And I guess whether you think they are the class of the SEC right now, or is it just a matter of their record at the moment, or do you see this team straight up being the best team in the SEC at the moment?
Yeah, thanks as always for having me on, Nathan. I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, I'm sure like many people, I said this summer that I thought that, you know, to me, I looked at it on paper and I think you could have made the case that Auburn and Alabama were going to be the two best teams in the league. Now, I do what, you know, we all seem to do sometimes, and I kind of reverted back to Kentucky by the time the season rolled around and said, well, you look at Kentucky, maybe this is it. But I think now you're just kind of seeing it play out the way that I thought it would play out with Auburn, but maybe not as quickly as it has played out in terms of this season. They maybe were a team you thought they're going to get there, but maybe it's the 1st of February. Maybe it's somewhere in there until they really start to turn that corner. But it's just happened a lot sooner, and I think that is kind of been the biggest thing that stood out to me is – when you have all these new pieces in place, which we always talk about, especially this season now because of the transfers and everything that's going on, you can look at these teams on paper and say, well, they should be good. They should be, you know, a top 15 type team. But until we actually see this team on the floor, it's really hard to know and feel 100% confident that's going to happen. I always say that. It's like I have a hard time having just a completely strong opinion on a team that I've never seen play before in terms of that specific rotation or any of that. It's like you have to sort of take the preseason results and everything, I think, with a grain of salt. But once you actually see this team play, we've seen that they, quite frankly, can be, you know, the total package at times. And I think that's kind of what you've seen from them. We didn't know about the guard play coming to the season. We were like, all right, how is it going to look with Green and Katie Johnson and those guys? Well, they've answered that. How is Walker Kessler? Is he going to, you know, be the guy we thought he could be maybe at North Carolina? Can he kind of reach that potential that's certainly there? Well, he's shown that. Jabari Smith, you know what you're getting. This guy's going to be very, very good. But is he going to be, you know, All-American type good? Well, you're getting that too. So it's like all the questions you had about Auburn are all being answered, and they're being answered in a way that if you're an Auburn fan, you enjoy because they're all being answered in a positive way. So I think that's kind of where things stand. Yes, they're the best team in the league right now. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think it's Auburn and Kentucky, and LSU's probably right there, and then everyone else. That kind of is the way I look at it. But there's no doubt that at the top, you're going to put Auburn right now.
My biggest thing I keep coming back to, I don't know what it is for you about this Auburn team, but, you know, no question right now, you know, I think Auburn fans are kind of realizing over the past few years, they've done a good job of, you know, getting a good perspective on what a successful season is. Because I think, you know, the Final Four happened and then it just was, oh, well, can this, you know, in the seasons that happen next, oh, can this team make it back to the Final Four? And obviously, probability wise, doesn't matter how good you are, you're probably not going to the Final Four. Only four out of 350 plus, you know, college basketball teams are going to make it there. So now, you know, the focus, I think Auburn fans are doing a really good job this season, especially of, you know, just kind of keeping things in front of them and saying, look, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously the goals right now are for the SEC championship, but my biggest thing, at least for this Auburn team, and the reason why this is the best Auburn team I've seen, in the regular season, is the depth. I'm not sure, you know, you pay attention to the rest of the league, better than anybody. And I don't know if anybody else has this kind of depth. Maybe Kentucky does. You know, I was just wondering what your perspective was on what that does for this Auburn team, and whether, you know, it's the best in the league in terms of their, how deep their rotation can go, because it seems like that's the thing that's gotten them through these games, especially the past couple weeks, mainly going on the road and picking up those two wins over Alabama and Ole Miss. It seems like, you know, those teams have their flurries, but they can't maintain it. Whereas Auburn can just kind of hunker down and they'll know that down the stretch of the game, they're going to get production from somebody just because they've got a true 9 or 10 man rotation.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, I've seen the discussion where people think depth is overrated. I have never been in that camp. I've always thought that depth is one of the most important qualities for a team because, you know, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be other things where maybe a guy just, you know, isn't playing as well as you thought he would. And, you know, Auburn is an example, right? With Alan Flanagan. I mean, it's like this guy who, you know, you didn't expect him to be out as long as he was, he gets injured and it's like, man, you know, well, are they actually going to be able to kind of reach that level you think they can? And that's where, I mean, you know, I think in a sense, you know, it's like you had to force some of these other guys to move into these roles now. And now that he's back, it's like, man, you're getting a very good player back on the roster. And it's like, well, you've got these other guys who've had to play minutes to fill some of those gaps. And now it's like paying off because you just have, you know, a pretty deep group here that you can sort of mix and match and all of that. And I think there's no doubt. I mean, that was probably one of the initial reasons that I thought that, you know, maybe it was going to be Alabama, Auburn, and Kentucky 1, 2, 3 in the league, because they look like the three deepest teams. And yes, you knew about the playmakers and all the guys that, you know, were going to get all these individual accolades, but you also looked around and said, well, there's that guy that can, you know, fill in that role. And there's this guy who can fill this role. And, you know, I think even, you know, Bruce's best teams there, I mean, his best teams have been ones that hasn't just been about, you know, your starting five or your top three players. It's been about, you know, the guys that have come off the bench and made plays, like a Horace Spencer or some of these other guys, you know, throughout the years that you've had to have on the floor to be a successful team. And I think this is one of those teams that you're seeing that now, in terms of how some of these guys, you know, the different elements that they bring to the table. And I just think it is like that's always important, because it is a grind in a 30 whatever game season. Like, it's going to be a grind, and you're going to have some guys that pick up nagging injuries or don't play as well over a 3 or 4 game stretch, and you've got to turn to this other guy. But, you know, to this point, Auburn's been able to manage all of that very well. And I think that's certainly one of the biggest reasons why they're having the success they're having.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Flanagan has been injured, but now it looks like he's at least close to maybe not full strength, but to where Bruce Pearl wants him to be back in this lineup. And I think that's just the biggest thing right now, talking about perspective on the depth. Their two best players from last season, Sharif Cooper was great, but he only played 12 games. Their two best players throughout the season were Alan Flanagan and Jalen Williams. Those guys have been really useful in their roles. They're kind of afterthoughts right now, though, when you're talking about this team on the whole. They're very, very important, and Auburn would probably lose some games if they didn't have both of them right now. But like you said, it's just crazy that those guys are coming back on this team, and they're still a little bit down in the rotation in terms of the star power Auburn's got there at the top. We'll expand to the rest of the league and kind of get your thoughts, give Auburn fans listening, you know, opportunity to know about other teams. But we'll start with the two teams that Auburn is playing this week. Everyone is looking to Kentucky on Saturday. That's probably the biggest home game in the history of Auburn Arena, one of the biggest home games in Auburn history. That place is going to be absurd on Saturday. It's like you said, two best teams in the league. But Georgia comes into town on Wednesday. Georgia's metrics-wise, very bad. But what does Auburn need to do, and what do Auburn fans need to know about with this Georgia team that can maybe give them some trouble, other than the, you know, maybe expected, well, you're looking ahead to Kentucky and it's just Georgia. Auburn's got a lot of Georgia guys on the roster. They got a Georgia transfer. There should be a lot of motivation, but we've seen it in the SEC already this season. Teams that should not get wins over other teams have been doing it. So what do you like about this Georgia team this season, and where a lot have a lot of their struggles come from?
Yeah, there is that can be a challenge, I think, to find other than the look ahead factor. There's not a whole lot with Georgia that you're going to point to and say, look out for that or look out for this. It's been that kind of season for them. I mean, really, I think if you let's say this, if you take away Georgia's win against Memphis at the 1st of December, I don't even know like what point you could make right now to say that, you're going to give Georgia any chance whatsoever. But the fact they did beat a team as talented as Memphis, who was going through those issues at the time, as we know, they were really struggling. But because Georgia won that game, you're like, all right, well, maybe, even against, more talented competition, they've at least proven in a 40-minute game they can find a way to outscore their opponent. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot to point to because this is a team that has lost six in a row. They've lost so many games at home that you felt like, whether that was like Gardner Webb or George Mason or solid teams, East Tennessee State, but the games they shouldn't be losing if you're in the SEC and you're, a Georgia. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot. I mean, the thing is, the one thing I guess you could say is Georgia's a team that hasn't really, if you go up and down, and I've always kind of found this fascinating about this team thus far, there's not a whole lot to find fascinating, but this is fascinating in that they haven't really been blown out by anyone. Now, they've lost by, they've had some single digit losses, they've lost some games by 15 or so, but like, it's not one of those where they're just to the point to where they just let somebody just run them out of the gym by 30.
So what you're saying is they're
So,
due for one
mate,
of those.
I was going to say, saying all that, they're playing at what I think is easily the toughest place to play in the SEC. Sorry to anyone else that doesn't believe that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on an Auburn podcast. I've said that for a while now. They're walking into a place where it's going to be a big challenge, and they're doing it against the best team in the SEC. So, yes, they probably are due for one of those games where if Auburn comes out focused, I think Auburn could win this game by 30 or more. And that's not me over exaggerating. I just think that that is the gap between these two teams from just a performance standpoint. Beyond that, look, Georgia's an awful defensive team. I mean, absolutely terrible. The numbers speak for themselves. They're not a good defensive team. They're not a bad offensive team, but I just, again, there's a lot that to be left to the imagination there in terms of maybe where they find any sort of offensive rhythm here moving forward. But I just think that this is one that if Auburn plays the way they should, or even a little bit less than they should, they probably should still win a game like this by 15 or more.
Yeah, and you wonder, I think like you talked about, the crowd will not be an issue for this one. So much focus on Kentucky and how that's going to be a wild environment, but it's a rival. And I think Auburn fans are probably going to be pretty mad about the ranking thing. They'll probably, exercise a bit of frustrations there. But then for me, I'm agreeing with you. I think Auburn gets this one pretty handily. The motivation on the team got a lot of Georgia guys. Walker Kessler is a guy that's considering Georgia till the end of his recruitment. KD Johnson will just be the player to watch. I've talked about it the past few days. I have no idea what this man will do if he goes off for like 30, because he is physically incapable of not turning to the other bench and talking trash after like a three pointer. He can't not do it. I have no idea what he'll do to Tom Green or something like that. We need like an ISO cam on him this entire game, because I don't know if he holds ill will toward Georgia. He probably doesn't. He just transferred, but like, I don't, his motivation is going to be through the roof. So he'll definitely be somebody to watch. Look into Saturday though. I know, still a few days away, but maybe the biggest game in the SEC so far this season, probably is biggest game in the SEC. So far this season, like we talked about, it's probably the biggest game in the history of Auburn Arena. We'll see what Kentucky does. They have a tough week. Go on the road to the top two teams in the league in terms of record, Texas A&M on Wednesday. They've got them on the road. So we'll see how that goes. But just their most recent game, absurd shooting performance, 107 points against a talented Tennessee team at home. They won't shoot that well in the arena, but what is it about Kentucky this season that's making them the second best team in the league right now? And what if they kind of, it seems like they've kind of figured it out over the past couple weeks, playing a lot better.
Yeah, let's call the Tennessee game what it was. It's just an absolutely masterful performance, but it's also an outlier in terms of both teams. Tennessee's been one of the best defensive teams in the country, and to give up 107 points, not something you're going to see every night from them, and you're also not going to see Kentucky, I think, dominate the way they did in that game. But if you're Auburn, you're studying that game as much as you can, because that shows you just what this team is capable of. And I think that's where Kentucky, you know, coming in, I just thought that it was eventually going to work offensively for this team. I know people had their questions about Sahvir Wheeler, you know, and I just always thought that he's such a talented player. He just was at Georgia, sorry to say. Like, he just was in a spot where he didn't have a lot of help around him, and he had to do kind of everything, and it just didn't work out well. But you put him on this team, and the different things, the way he makes his team so much better. And then, of course, Ty Washington has just been fantastic. In terms of just everything he can do on offense. I mean, he's just an unbelievable playmaker. But you add all that to say that they've got what I think is the biggest, most animalistic, I think that's the best word I've used to sort of describe Oscar Tshiebwe. Like, this guy's just an animal. Like, I you have not seen many people play the way that he plays. And I don't think there's anyone in college basketball that can match the way he actually plays on the floor in terms of his scoring and rebounding and everything he does to disrupt a game. And so that, I think, is going to be the biggest challenge in this is, you know, Kentucky won that game against Tennessee without him even really having a great game. I mean, he was, for his performances, that was on the lower end. And they still won by almost 30 at home. And that shows you kind of the complete balance you're starting to get from this Kentucky team. And it's really happening on both ends of the floor. It's not just on offense. Like, they are starting to become a complete team on both sides. And that is a scary thought for everyone else, because when they're on, I think that, like I said, it's them and Auburn and everyone else when both teams are at their best. And that's exactly what you want heading into a game like this. But there is something too, I think, the point of Kentucky hadn't played a lot of road games this year. And the ones they have played, they've lost, minus the Vanderbilt one, right? Like, they have not, they didn't play well at LSU. They didn't play well at Notre Dame, you know, a month ago. Even the neutral court game, I know they beat Carolina, but I think at that time that was another one of those where Carolina was just kind of in a bad spot, and you had one of those games from Kentucky where they almost put up 100. Offensively, this team can be scary, and I think that is something for Auburn to where, you know, if for some reason you aren't able to get a Tshiebwe in foul trouble, or you have this offense kind of flowing the way that it's flowed, that's going to be a challenge. But at the same time, the way these two teams match up is, you said it, I mean, this is not going to be one of the best, just the best games, I think, in the SEC this year. This will be one of the best games you've seen in college basketball this year. But I think the element that you look at is Kentucky has not played great away from home. And you know what? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but would I be shocked if after such a huge emotional high of beating Tennessee the way they beat Tennessee, if Kentucky goes into A&M on Wednesday and plays a Buzz Williams team that – usually not easy to prepare for in terms of the style. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a game that's close, perhaps the entire way. I don't know if I'm going to pick A&M or anything to win, but I think that is something you look at when you talk about the look ahead game with Kentucky. But if both teams go into Saturday at their best, I think this is just going to be an unbelievable college basketball game.
As you're talking about Tshiebwe, I'm just pulling up the stats here. Top five in scoring in the league, the best shooter in the league in terms of field goal percentage, 62.2. That's almost 10% better than Colin Castleton. Top rebounder in the league, more than five rebounds better than Colin Castleton. And he's also in the top five in block. Is he the player of the year front runner right now in the SEC?
It's two, and it's Tshiebwe and Jabari Smith. I don't think there's a close third at this point. Wow. I mean, I think that's it, right? Like, I don't think you could pick anyone else at this point. I think if right now, if you had the vote, I think Tshiebwe would get it, just because, like you said, I mean, you just look at the numbers, and Jabari Smith, as great as he's been, there are still, you know, it's like there are still some performances with both guys you just look at and you shake your head. But I think Sheboy's probably had more of those, just in terms of, you know, the games he's had 20 something rebounds or whatever it is. So yeah, I think right now he'd probably get the nod, but I think it's 1A and 1B with those two at this point.
Yeah, Jabari's in a situation where I was thinking about that the other day, about the, you know, whether he would be in contention for that, like a serious threat down the line. And obviously he will be, but just, you know, you watch Auburn play, sometimes they're just going to somebody else, and sometimes somebody else is just feeling it, which is crazy to think that, you know, he might be the best shooter in the country. But sometimes the offense is working other ways. Or it's like in Tuscaloosa on Tuesday, when you can just give it to him and he can score from anywhere and he's feeling it and really not able to miss. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many more of those kinds of games. It's tough to not see him score in double digits all the time. But it'll be interesting to see how many 20-point games he gets down the stretch here. You brought him up there. Obviously the surprise of the SEC so far, Texas A&M is sitting at 4-0, not picked super highly in the league. Reminds me a little bit of that Auburn team that won the SEC regular season after being picked to go 4-14 in the league. I don't think Texas A&M was that bad in the preseason. I can't rack my brain for exactly what they were. But is that the biggest surprise, looking at the SEC at large, is that the biggest surprise for you in the league so far? I think Arkansas was kind of iffy there. Seems like they've maybe gotten it together. And kind of what are your overall impressions of the league so far as we're now entering, third week of January?
Yeah, A&M's the biggest surprise at 4-0. Obviously, their schedule has been manageable, to say the least. They've had a very favorable schedule, and I think this next week we learn a lot more about them. They got Kentucky, then at Arkansas, at LSU coming up after that, and they go to Tennessee, I think, a week after that. So it's like their record could kind of go the other way in a hurry if they're not as good as maybe, their record shows right now. They've been the biggest surprise from that standpoint. I think Arkansas, while has been a big disappointment to a lot of people, I wasn't as high on Arkansas coming this season because I just looked at it and said, wait a second, there's not a Moses Moody, there's not a Justin Smith, and I don't know exactly how that's going to turn out, with just the roster constructed the way that it was. And, chemistry and all that stuff, as we said, you just never know. So they've been a little disappointing. I think Florida's been disappointing, although, unfortunately, I think that's kind of been a theme consistency-wise. They just haven't gotten it together, but they play a tough schedule too. To start SEC play. So I think their 1-3 record's a little bit deceiving just in terms of the schedule they played. Everything else has kind of played out the way you would have thought. Mississippi State's probably that team that I think if you want to circle right now, who's that team that could really, perhaps even challenge for a title or is going to be one that you just don't want to play. I think they're going to fall in that category the rest of the way because they've got one of the best players in the league in Iverson Molinar. Certainly I think the other big surprise is LSU's defense. I thought LSU would be good, but for them to be the best defensive team in the country, perhaps, Will Wade's teams, if you watch them play there, they have been all offense and very little defense. And now it's like flipped. They are just all defense, and it is incredible to watch them play on that side of the floor. So I know for Auburn fans, maybe didn't look that way in that game a couple weeks ago, but they are spectacular on that side. And if they can kind of get healthy, which that's been kind of an issue, of course, they lost Arkansas without Xavier Pinson. If they can get him healthy, I think LSU is going to stay right in that mix, but that's definitely been one of the other big surprises for sure.
Yeah, I mean, held Auburn to 70 points at home. Still pretty decent defensive performance. And you look at how Auburn shoots inside that arena occasionally. Blake, one more, and then we'll let you go. Again, really appreciate you coming on. Just you're looking at this Auburn team specifically over the next month and a half until the regular season is over. What are you looking for them to either continue to do or improve on? What are the things about this team that they need to lock down to give them, like we talked about, teams competing for a title, they're right up there in the first place spot. What do they need to do down the stretch of the season in order to retain that and win their second regular season championship in the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, some other people have pointed out, and I think it's a good point, but I think you have that sometimes with teams like this is, I think when you get in these close games, shot selection becomes so important. And I think that's something that I've seen other people point out at times in terms of maybe knowing where the ball needs to go in some of these scenarios in close games. So I think there's something to that. I think at times a little bit overblown because I think, we saw that too with the Jared Harper teams and those. I mean, you have guys who can make plays and sometimes maybe, that can be a good thing. It can also be a bad thing sometimes just because you want to make that play if you're in that position. So that is something I've seen, but I don't know if that's a huge thing to me. That I'm saying right now that's going to derail their season or anything. I think that's way overblown if you're going that far with it. But really beyond that, I mean, I think this team, they've just got to keep playing the way they're playing, especially on defense. I think that's just such a huge part of what they do, and it makes things so much easier on the offensive side. So I think it's really just how do you continue to see this rotation shake out? Let's say Jabari Smith doesn't have those games, that are just to the tip-top level. Can everyone continue to kind of be around? And if he has an off game here or there against a good team, do they have enough to step up? And I think they do. It goes back to the depth conversation we had. So there are not a lot of things that you kind of point out right now. And I feel like you're looking at it and saying, uh-oh, that could be a problem. I just don't see that with this team, and I think that puts them in a pretty good position here as they move forward.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see down the stretch how things play out in the SEC. Definitely near the top, it's been over the past few seasons, it's been a fight down to the finish. And so, can Auburn hold on to that top spot? Certainly, Auburn fans think this team is the most talented they've ever seen. It's certainly the best Auburn team I have seen in terms of what they do in the regular season. So looking way ahead to March, trying not to do that at this point. I'm trying to not pay attention to that, trying to just focus on the SEC right now. So thank you so much, Blake, for coming and joining us today. You guys can follow him on Twitter at @TheBlakeLovell. Again, covers college basketball, SEC basketball for the 14. You guys can check it out, southeastern14.com. He's got predictions for every game, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. Thanks so much for Blake for joining us. If you guys enjoyed the podcast today, please leave us a 5-star review. That's the number one thing that helps us out. The intro and outro music is by Beats by Mordecai. You guys can follow him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Until the next episode, you guys have a good rest of the week. We'll talk to y'all later. We'll be right back.